May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading is from the first chapter of Luke, starting in verse 26. I invite you to listen for the word of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee, called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Holy God, O Holy Spirit, may my words today and our thoughts and our lives be faithful to the fullness of your grace. In your holy name we pray. Amen. This Sunday opens the season of Advent, the welcoming, the preparation, the waiting for the arrival of Jesus historically in Bethlehem and again this year. I find that this year, as much as any time in my life, I find it hard to kindle a real open-hearted hope. I've been discouraged by the world, and it feels naive to just light candles and put up trees and think, this year will be the year. This year, new hope will arrive, new love will be born. But that's exactly the invitation of the season, to kindle hope, even though we've known desolation, to believe in possibility, even though we've also experienced dead ends. And so this Sunday, we turn to the season of Advent. This year, here at Westwood, we're using a resource that frames this season as words for the beginning. And you received, I'm sure that you paid all of the attention to the email that I sent you on Wednesday because you didn't get any other emails from any store you've ever visited in the past week. Somewhere there, buried in all of those other emails, I sent you a message that was an invitation to use a devotional at home with a link to access it online. We also have some hard copies of it here. It's one way to deepen your practice of this season of Advent, to use the devotional at home, to contemplate the art and music and poetry and scriptural invitations that are there in the devotional. Words for the Beginning is an invitation to dare to claim hope, to believe that things are beginning. Now, the Christian church has always been just a little bit off from the dominant culture. We celebrate New Year's on January 1st in our culture, but the Christian church insists that the first Sunday of Advent is the start of the new year. We're ahead just a little on the orientation toward newness. This year, during this season of Advent, as we ponder words for the beginning, we're invited to think of the phrases that we would treasure, maybe that have been spoken to us or that we might have offered to a tiny child in our life, phrases of affirmation and blessing that help orient us toward the world. So each week we'll have one of these phrases that are treasures of our tradition and our humanity, words of affirmation and blessing that are rooted in the beliefs and stories of our scripture and our faith community, words that we need to hear in order to be open to hope, to what God is doing in our lives and world. And this Sunday, we start with the phrase, "You are a blessing." An affirmation that insists on our bearing the image of God, that declares the blessedness and belovedness of each one of us from the beginning, not because of what we've done or achieved or said, but because we are, because we embody the presence of our living God. I want you to know that you are a blessing. To begin with that assurance and confidence of your beauty, your goodness, and your belovedness. There are within our broader Christian tradition, Christian theologies that tend to start from a different place, not from assurance of our goodness or belovedness, but from recognition of our
wretchedness, our need of Christ's salvation in order to be well, whole, good, repaired in some way. And while I believe that we do need Christ's grace in order to fully live into the love of God as embodied in Jesus Christ, I believe that we begin not with our wretchedness, but with our belovedness. And I like to imagine those images of Mary holding the Christ child, or Simeon in the temple waiting for the arrival of the Messiah, taking him into his arms, a crazy old man waiting at, well, scripture doesn't say he's crazy. That's my, a sweet old man waiting in the temple for years, expecting the arrival of the Messiah, able to recognize God's arrival in this tiny child, taking baby Jesus into his arms and singing. I like to imagine, even as a grown woman, a God who holds us in God's arms, wrapped in a homemade blanket, and looks at us with the sweet gaze that you might have given to a baby you had the privilege of holding sometime in your life. Words for the Beginning uses imagery from quilts as an invitation of the season. So I've brought two quilts from my house to add to our worship space this morning. If you have a beautiful quilt you'd like to bring, let me know and we'll rotate the collection of quilts for this season. This one was a gift from the church where I was a pastor when my son was born, with a square made by various members of our quilting group and stitched together, delivered to our house in those first days after his birth. And this one is a quilt that I dyed and made as a reminder of the beauty of God's radiant love. I love quilts because you can wrap them around you. Like prayer shawls that this church has a tradition of giving to members of our community and extended families, a quilt is a sign of love that can enfold you, tangible and comforting. There's something powerful about reminding ourselves that God's presence is for us in that kind of a way, meant to be wrapped around us. The best prayer shawl moment I ever experienced happened at Strength for the Journey Retreat, a retreat for adults living with HIV/AIDS in San Diego County in, I don't know, 2003 or 2004. I was privileged to be one of the spiritual leaders for this annual retreat community that happened up at Camp Cedar Glen, a United Methodist camp in Julian, California. Every year, about 100 adults living with HIV/AIDS gathered for a week of retreat. It was sponsored by the church, but not heavy-handedly church. It was welcoming of people of any or no tradition. Its hope was to convey something of divine love and to create a community of mutuality and care for adults living with HIV. When the camp was started, it was in the early days of the AIDS crisis, and it was a wild and bold thing for a church community to do, to create a retreat for adults living with AIDS at a time when the broader community stepped back in fear and judgment, judging that AIDS was a crisis that only mattered to gay men. A sinful decision that our culture and community made. And as we continue to live with an AIDS epidemic that stretches around the world, those choices early in the disease had implications that affected so many. But on a personal level, were devastating to people who were themselves living with HIV, not only living with this virus, but cut out of community with additional layers of judgment and fear. It was a gift to get to be present 15 or 20 years into the life of the camp and to be a pastoral presence. I had in my church a woman who loved to crochet and knit almost as much as Shirley, or maybe even more. She came up to me maybe 9 months before the next year's camp and said, "I think I'd like to knit or crochet a prayer shawl for everyone at camp next year. And there's 35 weeks. I think I can do 2 a week, and I can find 30 other friends." So single-handedly, she was the kind of woman in a church who had ideas and follow through, and you were best just getting out of her way. She showed up with a full carload of prayer shawls to take to camp. I got the privilege of taking them to camp and at campfire one night out under the stars up in the mountains, handing out these handmade prayer shawls made by some church lady who wanted to convey love and care. I hadn't really thought through how this would go as we physically passed out the shawls and blankets to the 100 or so people there at camp. I hadn't imagined how, as soon as everyone got them, they would wrap themselves in them that chilly night under the stars. And I hadn't prepared myself for the emotional experience of seeing a community wrapped in reminders of love, of care, and of belovedness. The image sticks with me today as a reminder of the power and capacity that we have as a community, as a church, to, in physical and metaphorical ways, be casting that kind of blessing wrap around the world that we inhabit, around people we know and lives that we touch. What a gift it is to give a tangible, cozy, beautiful sign that affirms this idea core to our faith, knit through scripture all the way back through the ancient prophets and forward through our Christian scriptures and prophets and poets to today, this core idea that we are beloved, that God's love is for us, that grace comes to us already from the beginning, before anything, that it doesn't require our perfection, our special achievements, our accumulation of anything. You are a blessing, and God loves you deeply. Through this season of Advent, we're invited to wrap ourselves in this good news, remembering the particular details of our story of Christmas, of Christ's incarnation, how it was first to an angel appearing, through an angel appearing to Mary up in Galilee, of all places. Not in the prominent, powerful, popular places known for their faithful adherence to the law and their exemplary participation in religion and the national power, but off in far-flung northern Galilee, an angel appears to a young woman. And here scripture insists again and again to emphasize that she's a virgin, which, just want to flag, is a translation of a word that can mean an unmarried woman, a young woman, to emphasize that she was no one of particular power. The miracle of the virgin birth is a miracle of God choosing someone a woman of no particular power, unmarried. Mary becomes the one the angel visits and gives this wild news that she is going to bear a child who will be called the Son of God. The angel begins by noting that Mary is blessed, that she is favored, by affirming her beauty, her power, her capacity, even before the story starts. That Mary, this powerless woman in a far-flung corner of Jesus' Jewish universe, Mary is favored and beloved and blessed. And then the angel gives her this greeting, which is an invitation to participation, and their interaction ends with Mary consenting to what God is doing with and through her. She chooses to participate in what God is doing. Even as a powerless woman, our story insists on telling us that she chose to be a part of what God is doing, giving her dignity and agency and authority in this story. Now, surely she didn't know what all this would mean, as it I mean, who of us does when we decide to have children? Who of us does understand what this will mean? Not even assuming that our child will suffer as Christ did, participate in resurrection. But still, Mary chooses to be a part of this, to let her life bear the power of God's blessing in the world. And so this Sunday, as we begin this season of Advent, we start with this invitation, an invitation to know that we are a blessing, that we are beloved, and that we have a capacity to be a part of what God is doing to bring hope into the world. We don't do this naively. We do it knowing the shape of the story, but still trusting that there is newness yet for us today, a hope that can't be extinguished, a life that comes even still, because it does not depend on it looking like things are all going to work out. The love of God arrives in far-flung places when it seems like everything is falling apart, and uses people like us, and those with far less power, to help show us the way toward love. This Advent, may you know that you indeed are a blessing. Amen.